Welcome to the Court Report. I'm Jerry Price. I'm here with Princeton women's basketball coach Courtney Banghart. And coach, we are late. It's Thursday. We're supposed to be doing this Tuesday, and this is my fault because I was sick all week.
Oh, I hope you're feeling better.
I'm fine now, but
good.
And I never get sick. I hate being sick.
Are you a baby about it?
I'm not a baby about it when I'm actually sick. I'm more of a baby about preventing getting sick. So, for instance, if you were sick,
yeah.
I'd be like sitting all the way over there. Or, you know, if like... You know, you were like, hey, I'm really sick. Can you go, like, pick up something? You know, I would get it and bring it over and leave it on your porch and, you know, let you know it was there.
That's awesome.
But I would not necessarily want to, you know. But, like, once I got sick, I'm like, you know, whatever, it happens.
Okay.
Makes me wonder why I'm so, like, you know, so, like, why I take it, like, why I, like, worry so much about getting sick. Because once I was sick, it was, like, not really that big of a deal.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better. And, hey, Thursday, get people waiting.
I know. So, I actually heard from some people saying, like, you know, how come there's no court report this week? So I'm guessing that you did not read Tiger Blog this week.
I have not yet.
Okay, good. So then I can ask you a question.
Okay.
Who has the same player in Princeton women's basketball history has the first and second best single season point totals? So the record for most points in a season,
yep.
and the second highest total is the same player.
I'm going to guess it's Naveen Rashid.
That's what I would have guessed, but it isn't.
Oh, my gosh. Who is it?
It's somebody who played for you.
Okay. Gosh. I mean,
I think
obviously,
it's somebody who played for you. It had to have been somebody who played for you.
Then it's Meg Cower.
It is Meg Cower.
She did play for me. I only got her for a year. I had to scout against her for three and finally got her for a year.
Yeah, I was shocked by that.
Yeah, speaking of Meg Cower, who's obviously so great and has remained a good friend to our program, is, you know, that NFL film. Have you seen that NFL film of her dad?
No.
Oh, my gosh. It's called... Might be called Bill Cower, like A Football Life or something. And it sort of goes into depth about his career getting into the job at Pittsburgh, and then also just the love his family had for him and he for them in that journey. And then, of course, Megan is a huge part of that since his first wife has passed. And, you know, I texted him after and I said, gosh, it was such an awesome video. I've saved it to listen to a family guy who's coaching. And he said, he wrote right back and was like, you've got something special going there too. So what a great guy. And Meg Cower is just the best.
It was a big thing when she was here because you know, obviously he's the Pittsburgh Steelers coach and she was coming here to play. And of course, what is his most famous physical characteristic?
That chin.
Right. So everybody was like, you know, wondering if she was going to have the same chin as he did. And, you know, like a lot of people asked about that, but she was, you know, she was a great player. She was, and the thing about her is, you know, she came within 12 points of the school record for points in a career. That's not a lot of points to miss it by.
I know. Yeah, no doubt. And I wish I had her for a few more of those years, but she could care less about the record. And, you know, she married Kevin, who's a hockey alum here, who's, you know, one of the great guys who graduated from here as well. And her life is just a story of the details are not what matters. It's pretty awesome.
1,683 points is the record. That's Sandy Bittler, graduating in 1990, now Sandy Bittler Leland. And then Meg is 1671, because Sandy was 1683.
Gosh.
So she was within 12 points.
Is that on the coach? Like, is that my bad that I didn't play her? Well, we weren't good back then, so it wasn't that I was sitting the best.
No, and actually she made a big push at the end and came close. I think I remember her having back-to-back 30-point games.
Something like that, yeah.
And, yeah, so that was close. And then Naveen would have obliterated the record if she didn't get hurt. So she missed, like, 14 games.
Yeah, yeah, you're
15
right.
15 games.
ACL, you got it, yeah.
So that's 250 more points. And
right.
She was within, you know, maybe, like, 70 points
of the
record.
I was going to say, I think it was 63. Yeah, that's a bummer.
So, but that also brings us to Bella.
Yeah.
Who, if she doesn't get the record, it'll be for a couple of reasons. One is, as great a scorer as she is, she's not, like, just a scorer. So she does a lot of other stuff. But still, if she maintains her current pace, she's going to come pretty close. And she missed the what was it, nine games
nine,
this year.
Nine, I remember all nine.
So that's a big thing. And, you know, everybody says the same thing, like, you know, the record's not important. And, you know, do you think, like, I mean, you have a bunch of records.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to keep them? Or, like, if somebody beats them, do you, like, feel it's like, you know, you had them and now somebody's always going to break records?
Yeah, you know, I think you hope, and I do say this non-cliche, is it shows that you've, you know, that the game has grown and that you were a part of its growth, right? So You know, someone breaks your record, you feel like it's you were a part of the game growing. At the same time, yeah, you're no longer in the record book at that top spot. And so it's a little bit of both. But, you know, for me to be able to coach someone who broke the Princeton record, and, you know, I know I was talking to Abby Myers recently, and she wants to break it too. So, you know, that part gets exciting, is to see your own program grow. Yeah, we'll see.
So there's records in a bunch of sports at Princeton that are, you know, some records that don't last very long, like mm-hmm. career records, and then others that are just going to last forever. And one of them is Bill Bradley.
Yeah.
So he has 2,503 points.
That was before the line, too, wasn't it?
No three-point shot.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And only 3 years of being able to play varsity because freshmen weren't eligible.
That's crazy.
And Ian Hummer is second, and he's like, wow, he's less than Sandy. So Sandy's second all time in terms of people at Princeton played. So he's like 1650-ish. I think it might be exactly 1650. That's nowhere near 2503. Yeah. So it makes me wonder, is somebody ever going to break that record? Like, I've always said this about Joe DiMaggio's record. He has the record for the longest hitting streak, which is 56 straight games. And it's stood since 1941, and nobody's approached that. And I've always thought, like, you know, to win, the record for wins in a career, Cy Young, is 511. Nobody's going to ever come close to that because, you know, I don't know how he amassed 511. I don't even know like what baseball was like when he pitched.
Right.
But it only takes 57 games to beat Joe DiMaggio's record, but nobody's really come close. I think 44 is the closest anybody's come since.
Hmm.
So I wonder, like, is there somebody out there who could possibly someday beat Bill Bradley's record? But I mean, you have to.
You're the math guy.
You have to score a lot of
what
points.
What is that divided by?
I mean, he scored 30 points a game for 3 years.
But he also, they advanced in tournaments, so I would.
Yeah, but they didn't play as many regular season games.
Yeah, so you kind of, I look at it by how many games you play.
He averaged 30 points a game for his career, but he only played 3 years. So if somebody averages maybe 25 a game for 4 years or 20 something a game for 4 years,
yeah.
And the game has changed.
Yeah.
So so a couple things before we get to your team, because you haven't played since January 5th. A couple of pro sports related things. I have three things for you, okay? One is, did you watch the Knicks-Rockets game last night?
I did not, but I saw that Harden had another
61 points.
Yeah,
like, it was nothing.
He's being guarded.
Yeah. Like, how is he scoring that many points?
First of all, being a lefty, in his case, he's so strong with the ball. Like, you can't take it from him, ever. And then he has that step back where you know, you have a different lead foot because he's left-handed, and that's a little bit of a challenge. But his separation from jab to shot, it's just gifted.
I mean, but it's gifted when you score 40. I mean, he's doing it every
night. Also taking a lot of shots. But I'm a Harden fan, so I can live with that.
Do you watch PTI?
I don't, no.
So that show's great.
It is great.
They don't yell. They just sort of like,
they
the
do.
Two
it's
of them.
Just, and it's a lot going on, and there's a lot going on with 3 4-year-olds in my house, too.
That's true. But so anyway, they talk about Harden, and like they just, you know, how many points do you think he's going to go for tonight? And like, they talk about numbers that other guys can't, you know, great players never even do in their career, and he does it every night.
It's also the fact that, in a good way, the ball's in his hands a lot.
Yeah.
So you have, you know, you get a lot of it's 1v1, and, you know, you still have to put it in that many times. It's fun to watch.
So that's not even my NBA question for you.
Okay.
So my NBA question for you is, I saw this thing on Twitter, and it was a Spurs-Mavericks game, and each team has a woman who is an assistant coach.
Yeah.
And I thought, is that something you would ever want to do?
You know.
And what do you think of that? Maybe if not for you, but like, what do you think of the women getting that opportunity?
No,
obviously, you like it.
But I love it. Yeah, no, I think there is. I think it's something I think about, whether it's in the main offices, you know, being in the general manager role, that kind of thing, or on an assistant role or a head role. It's just basketball at the highest level, and it's more situational and whatnot, less, you know, more management in terms of managing your current roster. And new challenges are something that I've kind of always been intrigued by. So maybe someday, but I think it's great, obviously. I think it's sort of like what Warren Buffett said, right, that it's no surprise that he was able to do so well. He was only fighting with half of the population, right? And so it's only going to help the more diversity we have across all industries.
Do you think we'll ever see a woman Division I men's head coach in basketball?
Yes.
You do?
I do. Yep, I do.
That would be interesting. I mean, it would take a lot of courage on the part of an athletic director to do that, because it could be an epic fail if people don't buy into it. But still, I think that, like, there are women's coaches I've seen in some sports, basketball and other sports, that I thought would make really good coaches for men's teams if they ever got that opportunity.
Yeah, no, I also think, remember, most people, a lot of people, they're led in their life by women, right? And so I actually think it's almost the outsider more so than the insider that might have to get over it a little bit. I think that if you're coaching a men's Division I team, most of them have moms, and their mom rules the roost. So they're sort of, you know, I don't think we're far off at all. And I think it's just a matter of who wants it. Is it the right time? Is it the right, like you said, right AD? But I don't think it's, is there going to be the right person or understands the right team? I mean, basketball is, it's not like football. I think football is way more complicated. Basketball is remarkably simple, in a good way. It's a beautiful game for that reason.
So Pete Carrillo said, you pass, you cut, you guard your guy, and go back door once in a while.
Well, Pete Carrillo, yeah, he made everything look easy.
So my next question, pro sports question, is, we've never really talked about this, baseball, are you into baseball?
I like being at baseball games live.
Red Sox, I assume?
Yes.
Okay, so Mariano Rivera becomes the first unanimous Hall of Famer. What do you think of that as you wince as I ask the question?
I know, because he's hurt me a few times.
But this is my thing about that. One, who didn't vote for Hank Aaron?
I know. No, you're so right. When he said the first ever, I was like, that's cool. Sort of like when we were the first ever at large bid. No one can take that from you. We talked about some records can't be broken, right? That, you know, we were 30-0. We were the first undefeated regular season. Like, that can't change, you know, with this since we've gone to double round robin. And you look at it and say, like, he's the first one. That's awesome. That will never be taken.
Right, but who didn't vote for Joe DiMaggio?
A lot of people who you're like, did you not?
So I look at it a couple ways. One is, to me, you know, he messed with teams' minds because they knew if they didn't have the lead after eight innings, they were probably going to lose the game. And so, like, that's the plus side for him. The other good thing is that now it means that Jeter can't be the first unanimous Hall of Famer.
Good point. Let's look at it that way.
But the other thing is, to me, I remember the two big blown saves he had in Game 7 of the 2001 World Series and against the Red Sox in Game 4 of the 2004 ALCS when the Red Sox were down 3-0 and the Yankees could have closed them out there, didn't, and the Red Sox came back and won the series. And, you know, the one thing that is fascinating to me, and I don't really know that there's an application in basketball to this, but that position in baseball is statistically driven. Strategy has become driven by stats.
Yeah.
So you have this very expensive closer. Everybody has to have a closer now. And you'll only bring that guy in to a save situation, and only usually for the ninth inning. So that if it's 3-2 in the seventh with first and second and one out, and he's your best relief pitcher, you're not going to bring him in there, even though you can lose the game right there. You're going to wait, hope the seventh inning guy and the eighth inning guy get you to the ninth inning guy. Mm-hmm. There's really nothing in basketball where it's like, you know, you wouldn't put Carly Littlefield into a situation. Unless she could get a positive statistic out of it. Like, there's just nothing like that I can think of in any other sport.
Well, a free throw, right? You could say, hey, when there's a – yeah, you can control
that. Yeah, but
that
never comes up.
Right.
Once every 4 years, that'll come up.
Right. Yeah, no, you're right.
Okay, and so the last thing is the – as I said earlier this week in one of my blogs, the NFC Championship game was tainted by the non-call and the pass interference. The AFC Championship game was tainted by the fact that the Patriots won. So
what a great game.
I was riding my bike with John McPhee, and he was wearing his Patriots socks.
Good man.
I think he likes the Patriots more than you do, although he just likes Belichick. But anyway.
The thing about the Patriots, so I want to make sure, first of all, I'm from up there, so I want to make sure there's no bandwagon. We'll take bandwagon fans, but I'm not one of them, is, you know, sports desperately needs the underdog. Right, so the sports need all the people that were rooting for Kansas City. Right,
they also need a villain.
That's what I was going to say. You also need the team that is able to wear it, that's able to wear that target and do it consistently enough that it's interesting. Right, and so I totally get that. You know, all the in betweens are going to go. You know, for the LA Rams, what a great story that is, and everything else. But let's just not forget that the sports also needs the guy who's willing to wear the target. And you know, for the Tigers, I'm proud to wear the target.
Yeah, but one thing about the Patriots is, and it's fascinating to me, is that I think, you know, football is a game where you need, you know, basketball is a game where if you have Bella Allery, you should be pretty good, or if you have James Harden, you should be pretty good. Football, you can have the great player and not necessarily have the great team. But to me, the Patriots without Tom Brady are – all those other guys are nothing without him. Like, it's the one exception to the rule. And it's like, I don't like the Patriots. It's hard for me to root for them because they've won so much. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, I have to grudgingly admit, like, Brady is something unbelievable that you may never see again. That, like, he's 41 years old, right? And he's like, you know, he still is like, he's the best. And one day, and the other thing is, I think it's going to happen quickly. He's going to go from what he is to, you know, what Peyton Manning was, which was barely able to play, to not playing anymore. And when that happens, I don't know that the Patriots have a backup plan. But in the meantime, congratulations to your Patriots on another Super Bowl.
And again, like, you look at it and you say people don't like, you know, UConn women's basketball, or you get tired of Duke men's basketball. It's so easy to hate them. And it's like, let's not forget that that's what sports needs, both. And I totally get that in a lot of sports I'm going to root for. If I'm not directly connected to one team, I love to see an upset as well. But it's not an upset if you don't have a flag bearer. So, you know, it's I'm a Patriots fan because I'm from up there, and I'm obviously proud of their continued excellence. But, you know, I also really liked what the LA Rams have done so far this year, and that's fun for me. So I totally get all sides of it. But remember, my I was born, raised, educated, and employed in the Northeast.
So suppose you were in the Ivy League tournament final.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, suppose. Let's hope.
Okay. Let's hope you're in. But let's not hope that this happens, that your team loses mm-hmm. on a call that's that bad.
Yeah.
Do you take the approach of no one call matters? Like, we still had to go to overtime. We still had a chance to stop them from coming back down the field. We let them score on us twice after that.
Mm.
Or is it just, you know, we win? Like, the Saints win the game if they make the pass interference call, because they'll have first and goal at the 3. They'll take the clock down to no time, call timeout, and kick a field goal. So they're going to win the game right there.
Yeah.
Like, how do you handle that?
No, in possession games, it can go either way. And so you try to hold hope and say, oh, gosh, if we had only not gotten here. But the fact of the matter is, you were there. And as you said, the game was won. And the call was egregious, and it's been stated as such. That's so hard. Like, within an hour, there was a tweet or a text or whatever it was that said, like, you know, are bad, basically. And it's like,
what I understand is, why is that not reviewable?
I don't know. That's exactly it. You review everything else,
right?
You know, and even reviews in overtime are, you know, and they review anything controversial without a coach having to say it. Like, let's get the game right if you're
right.
going to have reviews.
Like, I understand you can't stop the game every time that there's a non-call and a pass interference play, but there has to be a mechanism for that. And the other thing is that, like, in basketball, for instance, when you have replay, and you're, nobody wants to review judgment calls, but, like, they're the ones that you need to review more, because, you know, it's if you got your foot on the line or didn't get it on the line, like, people forgive that. But the call the other day, they really can't forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, in basketball, if you're, you know, you're going to review it to see if the ball went off of me or you. But while you're watching the review, you see, yes, the ball went off of you, but I clearly fouled you in the process. Why can't you call that? Why can't you say, all right, it was off of her, but she got fouled?
And especially with the camera angles now. Like, it's not like you're, like you said, you want conclusive evidence, right? So you're not asking them to put them in a tough spot. It's like there's thousands of angles now, so you can get it right. And the game's already been stopped. So let's just get it right. Yeah, I agree, especially in that particular game.
So we're 17 minutes in, and we barely talked about your team.
That's okay.
So just one thing I wanted to say, we got an email from a fan asking a question, and that's, you know, you've spent some time recruiting during this break.
Mm-hmm.
And just to mention it, no games this weekend,
mm-hmm.
But next weekend, back at it.
Back
so
at
you're
it.
At Columbia
gosh.
First? Columbia
Friday.
Columbia
First, 4 o'clock, yep.
Columbia Friday, Cornell Saturday of next week, not this week.
Mm-hmm.
Doubleheader with the men.
Mm-hmm.
But you've done a lot of recruiting. And the question was, when you take the thousands and thousands of high school kids and you start to narrow that list down, how do you do that? Because you're ending up with 3, 4, 5, some years, you know, high end is 6, low end is, what's the lowest, 3 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you narrow that many kids into that, you know, how do you identify them,
yeah.
and then how do you narrow it?
One of them, you know, a Patriot, when he was a Patriot, Scott Peel, he and I had a conversation about, it's time the general manager, of, you know, you look at the value of someone equals the combination of their talent. You have to have a certain amount of talent. Their fit, so how they fit into the general scope of what Princeton would value and what Princeton would want, what Princeton deserves. And then the third is availability. Who wants to be, you know, is there a distance that they're willing to travel? Is this close or too far, or, you know, any number of factors. So we sort of is constantly looking at that ebb and flow of value equals talent, fit, and availability. And some of that information is available at different times than others, but you're constantly kind of using that mechanism to move people up or down based on where they fit in any of those three factors.
So I feel like 19 minutes is a good amount for today.
Love it.
Again, apologies that we weren't here on Tuesday.
Yep.
We were able to survive through Christmas and New Year's.
I know. That was what was so shocking about it. It was.
Yeah, Tuesday you wouldn't want to meet me.
And I was in. I was actually in Orlando for NCAA meetings, so it would have had to be remote anyway.
So we'll be back next Tuesday, and we will actually talk basketball, because your team will be, it's game week again for your team.
Awesome.
And
Tuesday, I'm recruiting again. So yeah, it'll either be before that. Yeah, we'll make it work before I leave.
Okay. So thank you for being here.
Thanks a lot for having me.
So for Princeton women's basketball coach Courtney Banghart, I'm Jerry Price. Thanking you for listening to the Court Report, and thanking you for your support of Princeton women's basketball.